Mental Health Monday.
On Radio City Talk, tackling the stigma.
Radio City Talk.
And I'm glad to say that we're joined in the studio by Sheila Byrne and Emma Knott, who've come in from Hope Street. Good afternoon, both of you.
Good afternoon.
Right, so, Sheila, you've been in before.
Yes, just once before.
Just the once with Mick. I was a different person then.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I'm much better looking now. Don't worry about that. So tell us a little bit about Hope Street, and then we'll bring Emma into the conversation. But for anyone who wasn't listening last time, how dare they, last time you're in. But tell us a bit about Hope Street and where it came from and where we are now.
So Hope Street is a mental health organisation, and we started out in Ormskirk in May 2018, during Mental Health Week. The reason for starting Hope Street was due to a mental breakdown that I suffered back in 2016, January, and that was due to workplace bullying, plus other life events that I'd struggled with. It was basically just the straw that broke the camel's back. We found that there was no support in Ormskirk for people struggling with their mental health, especially in the evening times. So we decided we'd open it for people struggling with their mental health, but also for the people who look after them too, because my husband had no services to access, and it was a case of he was stabbing in the dark as to how he could help me. And finally got to the point where in, I think it was December 2017, where I attempted to take my own life three times on the one evening. And it wasn't until that point that I actually started to get a little more support in terms of care coordinator.
So you found it really had to take being the lowest, of the feeling low. The lowest of the low for anything to happen. But it must, to actually turn that round seemingly so quickly and to use that yourself, how difficult or how easy have you found that to use that experience?
It's not been easy. There's been a lot of self-help that I've done. I've received services through the Mental Health Minds Masters team. However, they just didn't appear to be working. So I decided I was going to go on a coaching course. So I did the coaching course, and as a result of that, I started to leave the house and build my confidence. So I got my coaching qualification, and then I went back to university as well, which also helped to build my confidence. So I told myself when I went back to university, I gave myself a goal that I was going to receive nothing when I got my PGCE, nothing more than an outstanding. So I went and I did it, and I got the outstanding, and I also got an adversity award at UCLan. So that started to build my confidence up, although I was still a long way from recovery.
And you mentioned it's not just about people who are suffering with poor mental health, but people who are looking after the loved ones who are also going through it with them. But how much of that was a focus for you, kind of to help your loved ones, to help you?
So I had to help myself, because if I didn't do the self-help, then I couldn't continue the relationship, because I felt I was a burden to everybody. I felt hopeless, I felt useless, I just didn't feel I was good enough to be on this earth. So in order to have some self-worth and to feel good enough about myself again, and to have some independence, I had to develop those skills. So I started setting myself goals every day. I started to push myself outside my comfort zone, do things that I wouldn't do. And basically that's what I'm doing to date, every day, doing things that I wouldn't usually do.
And how does that make you feel about your own achievements now? Because you've clearly come a long way.
It makes me feel amazing, to be fair. I use a lot of positive affirmations, so I tell myself frequently that I'm doing great, and that, you know, when things happen, I'll handle it. I can't change it, so I just have to do what I can do to handle it at the time, and I handle it a hell of a lot better than I used to.
And what's the reaction been like in Ormskirk itself?
The numbers vary from week to week, to be fair. So we can go from 9 up to 20. And then one week we had about 30 people turn up. So the numbers just vary, depends on people and how they feel on the day. So some people will have bad days and they won't be able to access it because they won't leave the house on the bad days, or they won't leave the bedroom. They can't be bothered showering. So that's when we see a dip. And you generally find that there's people who go through it at the same time as well. In terms of since we've started the courses that we run, the emotional intelligence that I've written, since we've started that, we have seen a real increase, and the feedback we get is quite phenomenal. So I've done a lot of research to find that emotional intelligence is a key factor with mental illness. So a lot of people, well, every member of ours has low emotional intelligence, and they all have mental illness. So there was a key factor there in correlation with the two. So that's why I worked on the emotional intelligence of people to improve people's well-being. And I'm continuing that on a daily, on a weekly basis. Each time we set goals, we do journals, and that's all part of the course to help people build and recover so as they can get back into work.
Excellent stuff. How much you must feel, it must be so rewarding to be teaching and seeing that kind of almost immediate reaction. Can you see that working? Can you see people making progress? And that must help you too.
Yeah. So we do have quite a lot of progress. So we had a woman who came to us who's been accessing services for 30 years, and she said this is the only thing that's helped her in terms of Hope Street. We had another lady who's been accessing services for 10 years who said it's the only thing that's helped her. We've had another lady who's been on the waiting list for 12 months to receive some care, primary care through the NHS. And she said to the CBT specialist, if it wasn't for Hope Street, she wouldn't be there and she wouldn't have been able to have access to that service in the end because she contemplated taking her own life.
So making some real change there.
Yeah, massive changes with people. People are actually socialising, whereas they wouldn't do usually. And, you know, I've brought Emma along today because Emma, it was there for the second week, pretty much as soon as we started. As a result of Hope Street, she got to model on the catwalk wearing our clothing brand. So, it's been really positive.
I'll best bring her in, yeah. Seeing as she's sat here very patiently waiting for her time to come in. Emma, tell us your story. What's your journey been like to where you are today?
So I got to know about Hope Street because I was struggling massively with my mental health in college, and my head of year had seen something posted on Facebook about Hope Street, and she said, you know, why don't you go along? And as a young person, you know, I'm only 18 myself, I found it really hard to access services and to get people to take me seriously, really. So when I did go along to Hope Street, I found that they were kind of the first people who didn't laugh in my face and did take me seriously, like, as a young person. And I think since going to Hope Street, you know, and getting to know that there are other people struggling, and it's not just me, and, you know, there are things that you can do and access, I've had such a massive confidence boost, and I'm able to do things that I wouldn't I've been able to do in the past.
Yeah, is that what you felt, though, that people were not taking you seriously, simply as a young person?
Oh, definitely. You know, I've had doctors say, oh, you're a young girl, a lot of young girls your age go through emotional difficulties, and they do look at you as a young person and think, well, you know, at the time I was 16, you're only 16, you've not really lived, so why should you be struggling? And obviously that pushes you down even more and you think, oh my God, I've made the wrong decision to access help. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it's just to even ask, because if you immediately batted down, it's like, well... Yeah,
it was like people just kept laughing in my face. So then to find Hope Street and to get that kind of validation was a massive thing for me. So.
And when someone of that age comes to see you, how do you approach that? And it's clearly not something to be battered away, but is it different for you to approach a young person in that situation too?
100%, because I've got the lived experience and my husband has got the experience as someone who cares for someone with mental illness, then we're able to break down those barriers and meet the needs of the people better because we've been there, we understand it. So in term, you'd probably be best to speak to Emma and see how she felt when she first walked in, because I know her first thing to say to us was everywhere she usually goes is full of old people. And that's why she wasn't really enjoying going to the services. And I know I'm not young, but I'm not extremely old.
I mean, It sounds like you struck a chord there when you went in and said, "I'll use her."
Old. Say you're all old.
No, but there not is that. Us, no, but no, other not services.
Hope Street. No,
you know, other
bring
services.
Chickens down, Hope Street, yeah. That's it.
But other services, it was hard to find something as a young person with people the same age. You know, I accessed my master's courses and stuff and walked in, and you know, I was the youngest person there by at least 15 years. So to then feel.
At least 15 years. That's what she said.
At least 15 years. Yeah. To then feel like, oh my God, I really am the only young person kind of struggling, which obviously I'm not, was even more deflating. So then to go to Hope Street and see that there are other young people, you know, similar to my age, who are struggling was kind of, I don't know, validating.
And we clearly, you've been through what Emma's been through, but didn't get the help back then. What have you been able to kind of pass on or even learn from what Emma's gone through in these recent months and years?
So we're able to help each other in a sense. Everybody helps each other, but in a positive way. So it's not about dwelling on the fact that people have mental illness, because if you dwell on it, you never come out the other side. So we're able to talk and say, you know, as in terms of anxiety was one of the illnesses we have in common. Oh my God, I have panic attacks like that when I have to go into a crowded room. So it's basically sharing the experiences that you're going through and saying it's real and it's not something that you're going through because you haven't got the emotional intelligence yet because you're still young. It's something that everybody can go through at any time in their life. And that's one thing that people don't realise a lot of the time. It's not just because you're 17 that you're struggling. It's because there's a mental imbalance there and that's why you're struggling. There's a chemical imbalance going on.
Emma, I just want to come back to you about what we were talking about before and your journey. But you've done, as you say, things that you never thought you would ever do.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
So back in October, I was given the opportunity to model for Liverpool Fashion Week because Hope Street have a brand called You Are. So I was able to model for them along the catwalk, but also for other brands as well. And I've also been able to go into a college and kind of raise awareness about mental health for young people and, you know, kind of tell a little bit of my story and what I've been through.
I talk about just being out of your comfort zone. Is that something you'd ever thought you'd be doing?
No, massively not. No, I never thought I'd do something like this. Especially at 18, it's not kind of what you imagine yourself doing or, I don't know, yeah.
I mean, what sort of... I suppose it's difficult even with anyone at 15, 16. What did you want to do with your life? Because no one really knows at 16, 18. But has this changed the way you feel now about your future and your actual career and where you see yourself going?
I massively do think so, yeah. I'm a strong believer of everything happens for a reason. And I think going through what I've been through regarding my mental health has pointed me now in a direction of, well, there needs to be a change in the world and I kind of want to contribute to making that change. So it has kind of guided me in a path now.
And it seems to be the way that you work as an organisation. It does. People come in, they get the help, but also you're changing lives for the future. That's what you need to do. It's what you have to do. But also, it's spreading that word as well. It's not just helping one person and they get their help and off they go. They can help others and they know it's not easy to, but they can certainly pass on their experience.
Yeah, 100%. So now what Emma's doing within her college is she's mentoring younger people with regards to the mental health. So it's having an impact as well in that sense. So she's able to pass on those skills to other people, other young people, so more people are going to get support as a result of Emma tapping into Hope Street. There's just so many benefits from it because Emma's a different person now, although she may not see me and she may not think it herself, but she's a completely different person to what she was when she first walked into Hope Street that first night.
Yeah. How do you see her different then? What's changed? What have you done to her?
What have I done to her? Put her on a catwalk.
Exactly.
And I've took her into college to just take her outside of her comfort zone and just really help to believe in herself. And because self-belief's a big thing with mental illness, you have a lot of low self-worth. So giving her those experiences and having people say, wow, you look amazing, wow, you did brilliant, is absolutely brilliant for anyone to hear, let alone somebody who's struggling with their mental health.
And how have you seen the last few years the change of, I mean, there's still clearly the stigma around mental health, but it's spoken about so much more now, and it's out in the open now. But how much further does it need to go? How much more work have you got to do?
Well, we've recently been joined up to Health Innovation Exchange as part of the NHS, and we're working with them to actually grow Hope Street and develop it in more cities. So we'll be able to go to other cities, but in terms of health innovation, it's given us more opportunities to reach more people and try and get funding in place so as we can do more. So the bigger vision is to try and bring exercise in, so we can employ people to do exercise classes. We've got a yoga therapist who's coming on board. We're going to be doing yoga therapy. We've got the emotional intelligence courses that are going to be running, and all these courses are going to be on a carousel. We're going to be doing yoga retreats. We want to be doing holistic therapies, beauty treatments. These are all things that are in the mix for the future, so as people can get that feel-good factor, because it can be something as simple as having your nails done or your hair done that makes you feel better when you're struggling with your mental health, because quite often the cost is too much. So we're hoping to be able to have things that reduce costs so people can access them, because they're not working, they can't afford it. So if they're at a reduced cost under Hope Street's umbrella, hopefully we'll be able to provide that service in the future. It's a long way off that, but these are all things that we're going to be doing. Also with the nutrition course, because nutrition affects your mental health. If you don't have the right nutrition and if you're not eating, because one of the things I do is to control my mental health is I don't eat. So that's one of the actions I take. We've also got a life coaching skills course that we're doing, which is setting goals, all about positivity, affirmations.
There's so many angles that you can attack this at, isn't there? And but you need the people to come and help you, and is that what you require, or is it about funding? What do you need if you're going to grow? What do you need to do as an organization to do that?
We're quite lucky in the sense that we've got two new facilitators on board. So we've got a guy called Phil who does the nutrition, and a lady called Bernie who works for Women's Org. So she's been helping us out a bit. So she's going to be doing some courses for us as well on stress management, confidence building, self-esteem, assertiveness. So she's going to be doing quite a few courses on that for us. So that's good because they're doing that for free, but we can't expect them to do it for free forever. So the funding is a big thing. So we have applied, but we keep getting told no. So,
but you're going to keep asking. I've got the idea you will. you've got to, haven't you? That's it. A whole load of this is applications for funding and streams of funding, isn't it? It does just boil down to that sometimes, and you need to keep on top of it.
It's time consuming. The applications, they don't make it easy. So you have to spend hours doing an application, and then it's quite soul destroying when you get it back and say, well, actually, you can't have it because you don't meet the criterion. So we applied for one recently, suicide prevention. They said we were too generic in what we did, so we didn't receive that funding pot.
So you have to be so direct about one issue when actually you're trying to help lots of people with lots of issues, all around the same issue, but it's too generic.
If you work on people's mental health and improving that, then you are going to prevent suicide. And what we're doing is we're giving people the tools to prevent suicide. So
if you're listening, you made the wrong decision. And you'll be back, I imagine. You're going to apply again. Yeah,
I'm definitely. Keep applying.
Keep going. Keep knocking. Now, Hope Street is coming to Hope Street. Actually coming to Liverpool soon. When's that going to happen?
This week, Thursday, the 11th of April, 6 o'clock till 8 at Hope Street Hotel, London Carriage Works. So basically, I met Charlotte Winby at a Unique Ladies Network, and she asked me if we could work together in collaboration, Hope Street Hotel. with Hope Street on Hope Street. She's such.
I know that address.
Yeah. So she just seemed. She's just inspired by what we do, and was so impressed that she wanted to help us, and she's give us the venue. Well, Hope Street Hotel have given us the venue for free and all the refreshments every week. So it's going to be on Thursday of every week, 6 o'clock till 8 o'clock, and we will be running courses as well. They may not always run on a Thursday; they may run at the weekend, but they'll be evenings, not daytime, so as people who work can access them.
So how can people access it? They know this event is on. What can they do to get involved?
So the events will be advertised on social media. They'll be advertised on our website and possibly sometimes Eventbrite. So that's how we advertise our courses. So we create events on Facebook, on Twitter, LinkedIn. So we constantly create events for every week.
So if they want to find you on Facebook, where are you just Hope Street?
So on Facebook, we are at We Are Hope Street, but it's Hope Street as in Hope, S-T.
Okay.
And the same for Instagram, at We Are Hope Street, S-T, Hope Street. And then the website is www.hopestreet.org.uk. The email, if people need to email us to have a little chat before they come along to put them at ease, they're more than welcome to do that. And that's letstalk@hopestreet.org.uk. A lot of people do that before they come.
Yeah.
They send us an email to have a little chat and we'll call them up and have a chat before they come. In fact, that happened with Emma. Emma rang up before she came. Mm-hmm. And then we've got Twitter account as well, and that's @hopestreet_MH.
Excellent stuff. So if you're on the social medias, and it's such a vital way to get out there, isn't it, to get that message out. And Emma, I get the feeling you'll be spreading this message for a good few years. Yeah, you're one of the disciples now. I think you're going to spread this message, because you do seem to me anyway, it seems that this is something that's going to be part of your life for a long time now, working with Hope Street.
Yeah, well, I'd like to think so. As I said, there is such a massive difference in the world that needs to happen, and I think I just want to try and contribute to making that happen. So, yeah.
Well, good luck to you. Excellent work, and so glad to have you in the studio this afternoon. Sheila, good to see you again.
Thank you.
And good luck with everything at Hope Street, in Hope Street, coming up. Anything else coming up in the next kind of months or so, or I'm sure you'll be back in touch with more ideas.
Yeah, we're having a masquerade ball, so lifting the mask on depression. That's why it's going to be masquerade ball, and that's going to be a fundraiser, and that's on the 12th of July at Hope Street Hotel. London Carriage Works are doing the catering, and the tickets are £55 a person. That includes a 3-course meal, welcome and drink, and yet entertainment all night. So if people want to come along and support us, we've got AC tickets, so it's going to be first come, first served.
Brilliant. Get down there. Well, thank you so much for coming in. Thank you for being part of Mental Health Monday once again. And that's Sheila Byrne and Emma Knott from Hope Street. And see them on Hope Street this week.
Mental Health Monday
on Radio City Talk.